word needs to get out, because when you really share this with people, most people are on board. They love it. They're excited. They want to see, when are we going to get a train that we can ride? And you know, there's so many solutions that this offers. And so it's just, it's, you know, really is the thing that's in the way is not enough common knowledge about this. Because once you get the common knowledge and all the people are on board, then the politics and the money follows it. There's no question about that.
Among the one or two most frequent topics that people are interested in and put things about and question on is obviously high-speed rail. So, yeah. In fact, the promise of high-speed rail is really quite alluring, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and the really funny thing about it is they said there's been polls in America that showed 88% of Americans support it. And what's funny is when you really probe deep into that, you realize that it's probably an equal percent of Americans have never even been on a high-speed train. But yet they still support it because it sounds good. They see it on video. They see it in the movies or whatever. And, you know, they're fed up with the airlines and all their nonsense and how hard it is to get around by airplane or by car. And we don't have that third option. But it's funny how fewer people in America really have ever been on a high-speed train, or a train at all, for that matter, and to really even know what high-speed rail is. People think the Acela is high-speed, which it's not. They think, you know, or they assume, if they're against it, they assume, oh, well, Amtrak, that's, you know, 100 years ago falling apart. Why would we invest billions of dollars into more of a crummy rail system like we have? So there's all kinds of confusion and misinformation out there in terms of what this really is. But what's funny is, even given all that, you know, confusion and lack of true knowledge, there still is high support for this without even a system built yet. So that's why we're working really hard to help get the Florida one underway, so at least we have one in this country that people can actually go see. And then we think that it will snowball from there, once there's one up and running. Right now, it's all just about a lot of talk.
There's a lot of scenarios here where, in fact, purely on the economic side, there's a plus-plus, isn't there, on this?
Well, absolutely. And here's the real deal is that, you know, doing nothing is not an option. This is what's not really clear to a lot of people. A lot of people just say, oh, well, you know, right now we're broke. We can't afford this rail system. Well, we cannot sit back and do nothing. Our transportation systems are crumbling before our eyes. The congestion is rising every day. So we will have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars one way or another on our transportation, whether it's adding more lanes to the roads, repairing falling apart bridges, adding more runways. We cannot sit back and do nothing, because the nation is like a human body with hardening of the arteries, and you can't do nothing. You have to go either have a heart catheterization or something, because the patient is going to completely die if you do nothing. Because, you know, our whole country will just stagnate into paralysis if we do nothing. So doing nothing is not an option. So then you say, all right, well, so once we're all on that page, which is a big, you know, victory just to get everyone on that page to begin with, you know, that we can't do nothing. We have to actually act. So then you say, all right, well, given that we have to act, once we're all in agreement with that, then you say, well, where can we spend transportation dollars that will do a number of things, that will return the most mobility per dollar spent, that will build a transportation system that will function in 20 years from now, that's not just going to be, you know, more of the same, and then when we run out of oil or oil's $300 a barrel, all of our existing systems fail. So investing more money in those is just investing more money in a system you know has no future. So you know, doing it into spending the money on something that we know will survive past expensive oil. And then, you know, how do we also get other benefits from this, such as reinvigorating our industrial production, reinvigorating our real estate, you know, cleaning up the air, get, you know, making us more efficient in terms of how fast we can get to places and how quickly we can ship things without delay and waste. So when you look at it under that kind of a microscope, nothing else that we spend money on even comes close to what high-speed rail can deliver. And because you can power it by renewable energy as you scale that up. You know, you can't power 300 million cars on renewable energy, and you can't power all the airplanes on renewable energy. It's not going to happen. And you know, even if you did, even if tomorrow you suddenly waved a magic wand and all 300 million cars in America were now hybrids or even, you know, 100% electric, they're still stuck in traffic. And no one's going anywhere. So you're still wasting all your time and you have to fit all the cars somewhere in the cities. You have to have all these parking garages and parking lots. And so it's just really, when you really dig deeper into this, the high speed, this is what California finally concluded, is high speed rail is the only viable solution. The California said, all right, let's project forward, and you can do the same exercise in all 50 states or any other country in the world. They projected forward, you know, we're expecting the state to continue growing in population by X million people, you know, by 2030 or whatever. And they said, well, how are we going to have all these people move when our existing highways and airports are already at the breaking point as it is today? So how is another 20 million people going to be able to move through the state of California? And they said, well, we have to double the interstate highway system, the California's highway system, and we'd have to add something like 6 more airports. And so when you look at, let's just say the big if we had the money to do that, it would probably be $300 billion. Then that's hurdle number one. Hurdle number two is, okay, let's say you do have the money. Where are you going to put another freeway down the whole, you know, there's cities right up to the barricades of the highway. So you'd have to mow down millions of homes, and, you know, it's just not feasible to fit another double the California highway system. And there's nowhere to put 7 more airports, that no one wants an airport anywhere near them. And so the cost of doing those two things was going to be in excess of like $300 billion. And so they said, well, gosh, you know, a statewide high-speed rail system covering every major city in the state of California is only $40 billion. That's a bargain of a century compared to, if we don't do it, how much we'd have to spend doing the other two things. And then if you did the other two things, they'd still be congested, you'd still be just as dependent on oil, and you'd still be putting out just as much pollution, you know, destroying the biosphere in the process. So
I think this issue of communicating with people, of educating, of informing, of seeking citizen engagement is what will be essential to demanding political will to come up with solutions. What's your take on that?
I agree with you 100%. It's always been my idea is if you're really on to something important and real and true and you're not trying to con somebody, then the best thing you can do is present the whole case to the people, and they will usually see the light and they'll get on board. You know, but you have to educate the people the truth. You can't, you know, educate them, you know, all the BS that's out there about, oh, well, you know, France is more dense and we can't do, it won't work in this country. I'm talking about educating them the real truth about, you know, like you just said, that was a good point about, you know, that our forefathers had enough insight to build our original rail system. They had enough foresight to build the interstate highway system and the universities. And, you know, everyone does take, and the internet, for example, everyone does take all that for granted. But somebody at some point had enough vision and then persistence to get these things up and running. And then everyone else gets to come along and just enjoy all the fruits of that. So, but I agree with you. You've got to tell the people the truth. The people need to know how serious our oil dependency is, how dangerous this dependency is if we don't do something about it, you know, that they need to know that. They need to know how serious climate change is, and the main cause of it is our burning of fossil fuels, which again goes right back to transportation. And so, and they need to know the solutions. Here's solution A, B, C, D, and E. Here's the pros and cons of each. Now that you're armed with all the proper information and how transportation actually gets funded, that it's, you know, people make decisions now, and then we you know, inherit what they decided, and we'll be stuck with whatever they spend the money on for the next 30 years. So these are all extremely important issues that I think the everybody in America needs to be up to speed. They need to get the knowledge, and then they need to be armed with the true facts and the truth, and then they will, I believe, they will make the right decision. 90% of them will, when given all the facts.